Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to podcaster and podcast producer Nick Davis. My favorite part of his interview was him talking about his gambling addiction and him winning $40,000, as well as how he met Theo Von and started working in the podcast world. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, podcaster and podcast producer Nick Davis. What's up, my man?
What's going on?
It's been a long time coming. Finally got you on here. How are you feeling? It's weird seeing you outside of King of the Sting, and like, because we never had a chance to. You're usually like on the record. You're recording and you're doing the production side of things. So, but you do have an interesting story, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get.
I can't believe I'm on your show, though. First of
dude,
all,
it was gonna happen. It was gonna.
But like right when I started with Theo, like 3 years ago, early 2018, he did your show, and to me, still, it's one of the Theo's best podcast appearances of all time. Million views.
That's my most. That's crazy. You brought that up because that is still the most viewed. Podcast on this platform ever. I didn't even know him that well. I knew, like, I had met him at my brother's birthday party. They were at some Filipino restaurant in Pinoy Town, and it was Griffin, and it just like the heavy hitter comics. And then I sat near him, and I'm like, oh, who's this guy? He was funny, but I had no idea how funny he really was. He's a funny dude. How did you, like, where are you originally from?
I'm from, actually, this is Canned in my hometown.
La Crosse?
Yeah, it's La Crosse, Wisconsin.
La Crosse,
Wisconsin.
So shout out to, that's how you pronounce it?
So La Crosse, this is La Croix, because that's where the La Crosse and St. Croix rivers meet.
Holy
smokes.
So
that's where they get the name La Croix. I'm from La Crosse.
Shout out to La Crosse and La Croix, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You're from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, tell me your story. Like, you were born and raised there. And
yeah, born and raised in La Crosse. And then I left for University of Minnesota, which is only like 2.5 hours.
So you're a Gopher.
Yes, sir.
So shout out to Gable Steveson for winning the gold, because I follow their wrestling.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah.
He won the gold medal there, heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a bright future. He signed
who, Gable?
With yeah.
Oh, do you know who he is?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see the match?
I saw it like on Twitter after. I didn't watch it live, but it was
last second takedown.
One of the most unbelievable
last second finishes. Spun around, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I followed their. They have a strong tradition in their athletics, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I grew up like a Badger fan, so I never really got into their athletics, and they were really bad most of the stuff, except wrestling.
Oh, that's Wisconsin, the red and the white.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you know me and Bob lived in Edina?
I did.
Edina, Minnesota.
Yeah. Fucking cake eaters.
Yeah. I didn't realize till later in life, oh, that was the rich part of town.
Yeah.
My dad had, back then, rest in peace, he had three Fashion Gale clothing stores.
Oh, yeah?
In Minnesota.
You guys probably played against Eden Prairie a lot.
No, I was in kindergarten.
Oh.
Yeah, I was weird, like.
Oh, got you. Eden Prairie is like the rival rich town, which I once worked at the Sports Authority in Eden Prairie there.
So what was it like attending the University of Minnesota?
I was just drunk the whole time and didn't go to class a lot.
Yeah,
it was cool, though. It was like, that's what I thought you were supposed to do in college.
Well, that's what all college, most college kids, a lot of them do that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's actually like, bad how much society, like, that's what you're supposed to do. And
dude, I have to admit, I became an alcoholic in college.
I like to say I'm not an alcoholic, but I have a drinking problem.
Right. So you're drinking, so you went to all the keg, like, I know that I just remember the football games every Friday or Saturday night, and that's what we did. We go into the football game, we're all hammered, and then we go to keggers, then you know, the apartment parties near campus. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it's that Saturday morning, 11 a.m. football games.
Yeah,
you wake
tailgate.
Up tailgate. Yeah, wake up at tailgate, drink all day. Maybe a power nap, maybe not.
Yeah. Did you join a fraternity?
No. I always thought of that as like paying for friends. That was like,
I like that you said that. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I understand now that I'm older, like the networking aspects of it, and like
yes,
like
because
the losers.
Daddy has a business. Mm-hmm. It once you graduate, you're a part of my team. Mm-hmm. My dad could get you a job at his company.
Exactly. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I'd see them around. You know, I thought that would end the politics as far as like cool kids, the not so cool kids, but it extended towards college life.
You know what I've realized as I've gotten older? That like applies to you think of it as like high school, like society taxonomy, but that's yeah. You go to a workplace, like yeah. a restaurant or like a office building.
There's hierarchies.
Yeah, there's hierarchies. There's cliques. There's like groups of people.
Now I'm gonna throw you this. Does that exist in the podcast world?
It's
like where is King of the Sting fit in that world?
I think they're like kind of the
are they the cool guys?
They're it's almost like they're too cool for school. I feel like all the big shows now are have gotten to that point where they're
too cool for school.
So it's like a gift when someone goes on their show.
Right. So the coolest is Joe. He's the guru.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Joe's at the head. He's the king.
Dude, he's Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. He's the dude. Everybody wants to be that dude.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be the dude, that dude's friend.
Uh-huh. You are those kids who like the girl with the red fro.
Yeah. Or Data from the Goonies. Or just trying to fit
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm me and Jeremiah, we're like the dorks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
like
trying
Revenge
to say
of the Nerds. And, you know, I grew up with 80s, 90s. Like, we're Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm. Where does Brandon and Theo and Griffin and all of them, and even Santino, my brother, where do they fit in this universe? This is an interesting kind of experiment.
They're all the cool. That's the popular table.
They are the popular
table. I think so. But then within the popular table, who knows who's getting along and stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Theo is a looker, isn't like he's a handsome guy, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's always cleaned up really well.
He has, hasn't he?
He like really takes care of himself, and his theory is, and I believe this too. Like sometimes I'm like disheveled, don't care my appearance, but my appearance.
Yeah.
But Theo has a theory like if you like brush your hair and comb your hair and brush your teeth, anybody can be an eight.
Really?
And like if you just put on some nice clothes, well coiffed.
Yeah. And then
I think
what's going on downstairs there? That doesn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuz I'm not lying when I say this. I think Jeremiah told me, "You know, Theo's known to have one of the biggest penises in the comic community." And I'm like, "What?
You're
preoccupied.
How do
you know? I'm obsessed with it.
Maybe that's why we connected."
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but does he get uncomfortable when I bring it up?
No.
I do this?
Just because he's not the one bringing it up. But he's talked about it. He's got that short round.
Yeah, he does. He does. Now, let's go back to your trajectory. Mm-hmm. So did you graduate from University of Minnesota?
No. I often made a lot of impulsive decisions, and I started playing online poker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like the summer before my fifth year.
Online poker.
Yeah. So my summer before my fifth year senior, I played in a tournament. It was $1 to enter. 3,000 people were entered, and you could rebuy as many times. I didn't rebuy once.
How much?
It ended up being 10,000 entries, and I got first after like 8 hours of playing, and I won $3,000.
Really?
And then from then on.
Off a dollar?
Huh? Yeah.
And off a dollar?
Yes.
You won $3,000.
Mm-hmm. And like, I was like very broke all through college.
Yeah, but did that give you some kind of dopamine hit?
Oh, an incredible dopamine.
Like when you stared at the screen?
An incredible dopamine
like, does
hit.
Like, did it make sounds like doo-doo-doo-doo, like when you won?
No, I turned sound off. I listened to podcasts, actually, in the background. Everything comes full circle.
So you played in your bedroom? You just play at home?
Mm-hmm. And so senior year happened. And I'm going to class, playing poker when I come home, but that obviously spirals into not going to class.
Yeah.
You're playing like 10 hours a day. I was doing well. I was winning. I probably made like $40,000 in 9 months.
What the? But you made $40,000?
Yeah, and I was living with college friends, and like, it was fun for a while. But
holy
then,
smokes.
In spring, after I had dropped out, there was a day, it was like in March or something of 2011. You can look it up. It's called Black Friday in the poker circles.
Yeah.
And you logged in your account, and the feds seized it because it was never legal.
Oh, it was an underground gaming.
Yeah, it was
black
like offshore stuff
in China or something.
Usually, it was like the islands, like Trinidad, Tobago.
Damn.
You'd always get, if when you did win and you cashed out, you'd get like a sketchy check from Canada or something.
Oh my
and,
goodness!
And the bank would ask all these questions and just say it was commission.
But you made a close to 40K.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like, I mean, shit got dicey because I was a tournament player. Like when you play cash games,
yeah.
Money, you can kind of like. Per hour, you know what you're going to make.
Right, right.
Tournaments
right.
are big hits.
Yeah.
It's a whole different strategy of playing. So they're like big hits at a time.
Yeah.
And like it'd get bad. Like I'd be borrowing money, but then I'd win, pay it back.
Yeah. No, because I know that addiction is involved with, you know, there's Gamblers Anonymous.
Thousand.
You know what I mean?
There's, yeah.
Because of the dopamine, it's like that rush.
I have addictive personality, addiction in my family. No
yeah.
doubt I was addicted.
To gambling.
To gambling. But like, it's weird because... when you're winning and you're addicted, it's not as bad as if, like, you're selling stuff off, stealing shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's still not good. So that Black Friday thing was actually probably the best thing that ever happened to
me. Oh, because it kind of put a foot there. They put their foot down on it, and then you had to reevaluate. Hey, do
then
I want to do this?
Then I had dropped out of school. I was an economics major. and I... irony. I was dropped out of school. Old school money.
What, loans?
Yeah, actually, because, like, the loans, like, in fifth year weren't as much as the other years, so
right.
then you actually
did you get in-state tuition as well, or?
Yeah, because, like, Wisconsin and Minnesota have a thing called reciprocity.
Oh, so it crosses
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That came in handy.
Yeah.
Now, did it ever get to a point where you physically hit Vegas and got addicted to, like, real gambling, like... the slot machines and the tables.
I could sit to this day at a blackjack table for 12 straight hours. I love it.
You could.
Yeah, but I would never go to I would never go to Vegas and gamble like that because it wasn't like efficient. When you're playing online, you're playing at 5 tournaments at a time.
Yeah.
That's not even for pro players. That's not even really that many. Like 5 tables was my pretty standard.
How did you? Are there like tactics involved?
Yeah. So like the real players get like it's like a third party software. It's called a HUD. And it gives, like, so when someone you've played with will sit down at your table,
yeah.
you'll already have stats on how that player played.
Oh, so you study other players?
It's not studying. The numbers are right there.
Yeah.
But you don't even, like, you just look off that number. So, like, if you're playing, I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I'll play 16% of hands in
mm-hmm.
a 9-person.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's, that's right around the middle. If someone's playing 10% or under, they're super tight. So they're never going to be bluffing you.
Right.
But if you see someone 25% of hands, that person's a fish. They're playing all the time. You're going to want to like.
What's a fish? What is that?
Fish, donk.
Is it a shark?
No,
not a shark?
They're opposite. Sharks eat fish.
So a
fish and donks are shitty.
So describe
players.
A fish is someone that's kind of faking the funk.
No, they're just bad. They're bad.
They're bad players.
Yeah.
Now, what is a shark?
A shark is a good player.
And they're out to eat the fish.
Yeah.
So,
I was neither a shark nor a fish.
But does a shark have all the money? They have a lot of money to gamble?
Generally, because they're pros and they're like,
know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating to me because even like my bandmate and my buddy David Cho, I went to Vegas with him once, and because he had a bit of a gambling thing back then. He's better now,
mm-hmm.
but it was just weird walking through the casino, and they all knew his name. They're like, "Welcome back, Mr. Cho. Welcome back." And I was just like, "I don't know."
That's
your
weird
name,
too, because even when he had a problem, like,
oh, you knew about it.
Huh?
Just
from what you told me, but I know that he had like he has a fuck ton. He probably can't gamble away his money. Or could he?
Oh, that's a lot of money. I don't want to get into the dollar amount, but it's...
Yeah.
I mean, we could live a million lives with that kind of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different... So that's a different thing.
But it's not... I mean, it becomes a time suck,
okay,
too.
Okay, just 1 second. Now it's time for our sponsor.
The Stevie Weave Show is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is therapy for the 21st century, my friends. This ain't no crisis line, and this ain't no goddamn self-help. These are professional, licensed therapists, man. You choose. And better yet, best of all, it's all remote, my friends. All remote. You don't have to lay on a goddamn couch talking to some stranger for 12 freaking hours. You know? Sometimes I just get lonely being stuck on that purgatory planet in the Zeta Reticuli constellation, and I just want someone to talk to. If that sounds good to you, listen up now. BetterHelp has a great offer to help you get started. Visit BetterHelp.com/Stevie for 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stevie. STEEBEE for 10% off your first month today. One more time, betterhelp.com/Stevie. Get better help and start living a happier life today. Do the right thing, my friends. See you later.
And we're back. I'm just going to clip it.
Yeah,
later.
I feel you.
And we're back. So this is fascinating. So how did you get over the gambling thing and like what happened after that?
Like I said, I was forced to because you just couldn't play anymore.
Yeah.
And then I had to get a job. So I got a job at the aforementioned Eden Prairie Sports Authority.
Can we give them a shout out real quick?
What's up? Well, Sports Authority went bankrupt.
Okay, but it was Eden Prairie Sports. Was it a sporting good like
shout
sport
out Mal
chalet?
Jeremio? He was the store manager.
Okay,
he was the man.
They sold like camping like tents. And skis.
I was footwear.
Okay.
So like the store had three metrics like to show that you were doing good. It was like warranties.
Was it? It was built off commission. How much you sold?
There was only the spiffs. So you didn't get like a percentage.
Yeah.
But so there are three metrics. There were customer reviews if someone wrote something nice about you.
Oh.
Warranties. Which I would get customer reviews. Warranties weren't really my area.
Yeah, shoes are mechanical.
But with shoes, one of the huge store metrics was insoles.
Oh, if you sold insoles.
Yeah, so that would prove you're going and talking to these people, and I slanged insoles.
How do you sell insoles and shoes?
Here's my pitch. I can give you my whole pitch. It was like the same thing every time. Fall and spring were the best because it was cleat season.
Cleats, and like football cleats, soccer
football
cleats.
Football cleats, soccer cleats, baseball cleats. Love cleats, all right?
Okay.
Because kids' cleats are really thin and stuff.
Okay.
So I'd talk to the parents. I'd bring them over. I'd be like, oh, so you're looking at cleats. Yeah, cleats. Yeah, the problem with these cleats are they're really thin, and I'd show them like the little thin insole within the shoe.
Oh, that you need this insole.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, does your kid ever complain about heel pain? And that's a very common. Have you heard of Osgood-Slaughters?
No.
It's a growing pain in the knee. Lots of people. You'll see people wear those
athletes
bands.
Athletes get that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe
and just kids when they grow.
Right.
It's literally called a growing pain.
Let me write that down. I don't want to forget. How do you spell it?
Osgood-Slaughters. I think it's O S C H.
O S C H. Osgood-Slaughters. Okay, syndrome.
Okay. But so Osgood-Slaughters, that's the more popular one. That gets all the press. That's in the knee.
Yeah.
But there's one in the heel that kids get all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called calcaneal apophysitis.
Calcaneal.
Or Seaver's disease for short.
Like Ben Seaver?
That was my line. I would always get them because coincidentally, Seavers.
Hold on, because we're a little older. Tell everyone, the viewers and listeners, who Ben Seaver was.
Ben Seaver was the brother of Mike Seaver on the classic early 1990s, late 1980s sitcom Growing Pains, starring Kirk Cameron and Alan Thicke.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up with Family Ties and all that too as well.
You would have. I would have.
La la la.
Yeah, I love sitcoms.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And intros.
Yeah.
But I would have sold you an insole because that was one of my jokes.
That was your line?
I would be like, because Seaver's disease is a growing pain.
Oh, and they get the connection.
Yeah, they get
Ben
a laugh
Seaver's
out of that.
Seaver's growing pain. Mm-hmm. They got it.
Seaver's disease.
Yeah.
Calcaneal apophysitis.
That was the killing line.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take two.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
and
take
then
two.
I would
One
get
feature.
A. I would get a dollar
nice.
For every insole I sold.
Okay.
And I'd sell like 20 in a day.
So how long were you working at the sporting goods store for?
Like 2 years, almost.
Yeah.
And then I got a job at a company called Meister MMA. Him, I'll give a shout out. Cole Payton. he started.
Is it MMA store?
Online MMA store.
Yeah, they sell gloves and shoes. Like, what kind of stuff they sell?
What he got really big, all those things. But what he got, like, his number one product, because it, like, started to rank on Amazon, mm-hmm. was hand wraps.
Oh, the thing you put on before the gloves, mm-hmm. like those wraps.
Mm-hmm. Is that mine? I'm hearing a ding. I don't know if that was out.
Oh,
I can't believe if I did that.
Oh, no, you're good. It happens all the time. But, so hand wraps.
Yeah, hand wraps. And he got huge off those. They were number one on Amazon. And then he started to have a whole line of products. And he was doing this all on his own. And then I was his first employee.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing – I did all the shipping for him, which, mm-hmm. again, I would listen to podcasts. And
fell in love.
So during
bookmark that, because mm-hmm. that's going to lead on to mm-hmm. what you do now.
Yeah, and I mean, so during the poker too, during that, even that during addiction,
you're listening to podcast.
That's when.
So
I, like,
I'm just out of curiosity, what podcast were you listening to back then? And what year was this? Like
2011,
12.
Yeah, I was listening to like
Joe,
WTF, a little bit of Joe. But
oh
really,
wait, Mark Maron's WTF.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still around?
Yeah, he still does it.
He's one of the OGs before Joe.
Yeah,
right?
they might have been right around the same time. Because Joe was like 2009, too.
But I remember WTF is one of the biggest ones.
Mm-hmm. It was huge. Like,
huge.
Because he had a couple really interesting ones in the first, like, 100. Like, mm-hmm. He had Carlos Mencia.
I was just going to say, I listened to all the Carlos stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
he first he had Carlos on, mm-hmm. and then his audience was all mad that he didn't, like, give him, like, the business about what was going on.
Right,
so
right,
then he
right.
had him back.
Oh, I know. I listened to all mm-hmm. of it. Yeah.
So that was a big one. Bill Simmons, BS Report was a big one. He was on ESPN back then. And then like Fantasy Focus. I like fantasy sports.
Yeah. So you listen to all, like, you just would just listen to it, not watch it. It's just in the background.
Yeah.
In the
mm-hmm.
background.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And I would also listen to, like, they had, like, lectures on there back in the day and stuff, like Greek history and stuff.
Yeah,
it was before,
yeah.
like, it was so kind of specific, and everybody
had
a show.
Right.
There was random shit on there.
I mean, I listen to stuff I don't even admit. Like, the main thing I listen to is a Linda Moulton Howe. She's an alien researcher. She has a thing called Earth Files every Wednesday night.
You should have her on here.
She lives in New Mexico. I must have reached out to that lady 1,000 times. I've reached out so many times. But she's hard to get because she's used to doing, like, conferences, like mm-hmm. UFO events, mm-hmm. like real UFO alien con and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't talk about it, but that's the shit I listen. I'm like obsessed with that. It was David Icke, but then he got too into the, you know, conspiracy stuff, like, because he mainly focused on the reptilians mm-hmm. and Illuminati shit, which mm-hmm. I was interested in, but Linda mostly talked about real life. Like, she had, like, factual stuff from old Air Force officers or, you know, mm-hmm. where they had, like, login, mm-hmm. like, stuff on UFOs, like, underground bases in Antarctica, like, crazy shit.
That's wild. That's wild.
But continue with you. So you're listening to this, working for this MMA guy.
Yeah, and that's really when I fell in love with MMA, mm-hmm. which was, like, I don't know. Now, like, that's my favorite thing to do is, like, watching.
So you're a fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Did you watch Pride fighting?
No.
From Japan?
No. Like,
that's an organization in Japan.
Always growing up, I was just talking about this to someone. I had, like, foster parents till I was, like, 5.
I want to get into that, too.
And they would always have, like, the big they would have a party at their house for big fights, like Tyson fights and shit. But then, like, as you're growing up, you could never get pay-per-view fights. Because
they
always cost money. And you couldn't even see highlights. Even on SportsCenter, they'd only play stills and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, I always, like, wanted to watch fighting, but I never really got into it until I started working there. And then, like, I felt like it was part of my job to kind of know the sport, but then you start knowing the individual athletes.
So
and stuff.
Were you around during like Matt Hughes, BJ Penn?
Right,
or?
It was right at the end of, like, kind of GSP's reign, like the
Matt Hughes was around.
He had just left.
He was champ at one time.
Yeah. He was. That was probably late 2000, mm-hmm. late aughts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The first pay per view I watched, I'm pretty sure, was GSP Carlos Condit.
Right.
So that was like after Matt Hughes.
I forgot about Carlos Condit. Him and Nick.
He just retired.
Yeah, but him and Nick fought too back in the day. Yeah. Did you watch the recent Nick fight versus Robbie Lawler?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing the original fight. That was back in the day too.
Yeah.
Do you remember that fight?
Yeah. I didn't watch it at the time.
But you've seen it.
Yeah. I've watched so many of these old fights that we're talking about.
Doing some backlogging.
For a little bit, I had this thing before I had gotten any job in podcasting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go on Fight Pass and like do like a live watch down of UFC 1 and include Pride. So like UFC went through like UFC 9 or whatever, then Pride started, and like watch them in chronological order.
Dude.
It was a very ambitious idea.
Well, dude, I was obsessed with Pride, especially Kasuji Sakuraba, his reign, Igor Volchanchin. Don Fry.
Yeah.
I love Don Fry.
Who doesn't love Don Fry?
Yeah. So all those characters. Because there's more. I liked it because it was more characters, too. Like, they had skills, but they were, like, more, like, action figures. Like
they really sold them as, like, the specialist of whatever they did.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was.
Who was that guy? Tank Abbott. Do you remember Tank Abbott?
Street Fighter. But, and that was weird because I knew Tank Abbott as. First, I knew him as a WWE or WWF wrestler.
Yeah.
And then I knew him as he was on I Love Friends. As I mentioned, I love sitcoms.
Right.
There was a UFC episode where Monica's billionaire boyfriend wanted to be in the UFC and he fought Tank Abbott.
Yeah.
And Tank Abbott like tried to throw him
I love his story because he kicked ass at the beginning, but as time went on, when people learned skill sets, like takedowns, then you could tell he got frustrated. So you got into that, and then when did you get into like podcast, like when did you decide to do all that, and how'd you meet like King and the Sting and Brendan and all them and Theo?
So during this Meister thing, I started to like talk to the guy who owned it, and I felt like I was doing a lot for the company. Like I said, it was his first employee. I saw the financials, so I saw how the company was growing and stuff.
And how well you did for the company?
Yeah. And so like I wanted to like just incentive of like what I'm putting in, I would get back. So like. I wanted equity. He didn't want to do that. I wanted more commission.
He didn't want to do that.
It was pretty low margins. I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
And then I was just kind of like, I was like, what's my future? And at the time, on Mondays were the best because they had the MMA hour with Ariel Helwani, which is still.
I know who he is.
He just brought it back.
Yeah.
But I would watch the MMA hour with Ariel Helwani.
What are your thoughts on him as a UFC announcer?
He's one of the best MMA announcers there is.
I like him because sometimes he pisses off the fighters. Like, especially the Diaz brothers sometimes.
I would say that's my one drawback.
He would kind of like troll them a little bit.
He sometimes makes himself the story. I just think he's a really good interviewer. Like, he would, on even back in the day, for like 4 hours on Monday, he'd live stream and he'd have a fighter on 20 minutes at a time.
He did that. So he has a history, like, before he made it? Like, he was doing this in his bedroom and
stuff?
Oh,
yeah. Not his bedroom.
But he has... Humble beginnings.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And just grinding every Monday before people were doing it. And then after Ariel's show would end at 4 p.m., Norm Macdonald Live would come on.
Mm.
And that's probably my favorite podcast of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And like those two shows, I was like, I just saw, felt like the podcast industry was going, and I just quit my job.
You just wanted to get involved?
Yeah. Which I don't recommend to anybody. I would say get a skill and know what your skill is that you're offering to people.
Right. But you just were so enthusiastic.
Yeah, and I love John Wooden, and he's got this thing called the Pyramid of Success. And the
John Wooden. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. The cornerstones of his Pyramid of Success. There's all these qualities within the middle.
Is he a motivational speaker?
No, he was the UCLA coach for like 40 years, UCLA basketball coach.
Basketball.
Wizard of Westwood.
Thank you.
But he's got this whole philosophy he developed called Pyramid of Success, and the cornerstones of the pyramid are industriousness and enthusiasm. Meaning, if you work hard and you love what you do, you'll be great at it. There's all these things in the middle.
Yeah, those are just two pillars.
Those are the two cornerstones. Like,
can you say that again to the camera?
The two cornerstones of success are industriousness and enthusiasm.
How do you define industriousness?
Working hard. So if you work hard and you love what you do, you'll be good at it.
And what's the second one?
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. And that could come and go on a day-to-day basis, can it? Like, sometimes I feel enthusiastic, but sometimes, you know, you have to kind of push yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So totally. It's kind of like maybe another way to say it is suit up and show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
For
sure. That's half the battle.
For sure.
For me, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just suit up, show up.
Mm-hmm. Right? And consistency and stuff. There's all these things in the middle that help.
I like that, too. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency. Because in this podcast game, because people like, I was just on the road with Jeremiah, and I was talking to some of his fans and Scissor Bro fans, and they're people that want to do comedy, but podcasts too. And they go, do you have any advice? And that's the main thing I told them is you just got to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Because you could start running out the gate, but then you might get not do it the second month. I don't want to do it. I just want to smoke weed and play video games.
And especially if you're starting from scratch, like no following,
you
are not going to have listeners out of the gate. Like something has to happen. And then when that thing happens, ideally you have a back catalog where then people have discovered you and now they can go look at you. Like I bet that's happening so much to you right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I have to admit, I want to put it out there. I lucked out in a lot of ways.
Everybody does, but you showed up.
I really looked.
But you showed up.
But I met David Cho on DVDASA and then I met other
people.
How did
you get to DVDASA?
My brother, we were driving to Koreatown. We're going to get Korean barbecue. And then he gets a text and he goes, hey, can you roll to me with this thing? I go, what thing? Oh, this is at this warehouse. Just come, dude. It'll be real quick. I didn't even know what it was or what a podcast was.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up, and then that was like my whole entry point into this world. And not knowingly, I know my place, you know, in social situations. And so I put the – when I shook his hand, and I go, I just want to meet you. I'm a big fan. Put the chair near the door,
mm-hmm.
and then away from the podcast area, maybe 15, 20 minutes into it, he goes, hey, bring your brother over here. And so that was my introduction. So I lucked out a lot, Nick. I lucked out.
Yeah, but then you were entertaining when you did it. Like, how many
But I didn't mean to. Yeah. That's the thing. With me, like, Theo and Brandon and Eric, they're comedians. They set up punch. Me, I'm getting better at it, but I don't know how to set up punch. I just think maybe this is a funny topic and I'll say it, you know, and I'll get a reaction.
You're very humble, Stevie. You know what you're doing.
It's hard with those guys, so I have to fight my way out of a bag sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Because they're so they're always shooting. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, they're so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. I appreciate that. But with them, those guys are Goliaths of the comedy scene, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're stand-up comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but continue. I like what you're doing.
So those two shows and just the idea that the industry was going, and also an interview with Conor McGregor on the MMA Hour. Before Conor even had a fight in the UFC,
mm-hmm.
he was talking to Ariel, and he was like, if you see it in your mind, you'll see it before your eyes. I truly believe that.
I think I remember that. This is before he made it.
Yeah.
He was from a small town out there.
Yeah, he had already been winning championships in Cage Warriors or whatever, but it was before his first UFC fight, but he was like the same brash guy. I want to like send you that link and have that in the description.
Yeah.
I love that interview so much, but he predicted all these things that were going to happen. It was like kind of, now he's acting a fool and he's all coked up and he's punching old guys.
Yeah, but he made it. Families, he did something to get to that point.
Yeah. It was incredible. And so like I was inspired and I quit my job and I took my Jetta that had 300,000 miles and I drove it to LA.
You just on a whim?
Mm-hmm.
Just drove to LA?
I drove to Denver. I stayed with my buddy for 2 days and just hung out. And then I drove to LA. Only one stop. I drove 12 straight hours, stopped 12 straight hours.
Okay, I'm dying to know what happened after that. How'd you link up with all these people in the industry, in the podcast industries?
So seven months in, I had been applying to jobs the whole time, but most of it was like applying for podcast networks as like ad sales,
mm-hmm.
thinking I would like backdoor myself because I had like account management from my store
right.
Or at least that's how I sold it. But I had a few interviews. Nothing really happened. It was in October of 2014. I almost moved back around Christmas.
Oh, you're giving up? You almost gave up?
It's just like feeling homesick. I'm in my car.
You're living in your car?
Yeah. I had friends.
Wait, you're living in your Jetta?
Yeah. It was my plan. I got a gym membership before I left Minnesota.
So you would shower in the gym and sleep in your car?
Mm-hmm. I had friends where I could like call and stay on the couch.
Yeah, but
I
don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
for too
constantly.
Long.
Yeah.
They'll
in
get
so, out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me what happened. There's something that happened then.
About seven. My boss at this part time job convinced me to stay. That was actually a really cool job. A buddy hooked me up with it. It was on. So I had it when I got out here. It's $15 under the table, $15 an hour under the table. But you go to movie sets and your layout. So like if they're shooting at someone's house or a business, you went in first before anybody got there, and you'd put shit on the floor and wrap the walls so the production couldn't damage the house. So the house, you're basically insurance, so the house couldn't sue the production.
But you work for, that's production.
Yeah, I was on commercials. I was on a Vince Vaughn movie.
Were you in the union?
That's like eventually, if you stay on that, you can get
set design work, and right?
Yeah. And even for layout, you can be in the union. I can't remember; it's like Local 86 or something.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I started. I thought about that route, but there's like all this politicking to get.
Yeah,
unions
and then you have to pay your dues in that world, man.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
clock the hours, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
that didn't really amount to anything except for the fact that it was a pretty cool job. I got to go in like the craziest houses in LA, drive all over. I really learned about like where all the cities are and got my bearings. It was a cool job.
And you were networking with the people in that industry too, no?
Trying to, and I still know some people now, but nothing really came of that.
But there's politics in that too, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, Joe Blow, he's worked the longest. Mm-hmm. Hey, what is the next job?
It's hard at that job, the position that I had, though, because that's literally the lowest on the totem pole. Like
that job description?
A PA could tell you, hey, don't fucking look me in the eye.
That was lower than the PA?
Yeah. They're straight up.
How much was the wage, if you don't mind me asking?
$15 cash.
An hour?
Yeah.
But cash under the table?
Mm-hmm. But they could call you at
5 in the morning?
Yeah.
And you have to show up.
Yeah, you have to show up, or you'd miss out on the next gig.
Do you at least get fed? Do you get
Oh yeah, dope crew meals and shit.
Oh, they do.
I love those
catering.
Yeah.
So you could say, hey, I want a breakfast burrito.
Mm-hmm. I've had this thing in my head, and I haven't tried it yet. But like, because we didn't have a uniform or whatever, and
can you show up like this?
Huh?
You could show up in those clothes.
We had like one T-shirt we had, but usually I just had jeans and a T-shirt.
That's it.
Yeah. And
do you have a walkie-talkie to make it look legit?
No.
Okay. But that looks legit on a set. Yeah.
Usually we'd be carrying mats over our shoulder.
Oh,
though.
Man. Okay.
A shout out Matt Man. That was the company.
All right. So you're doing
I mean, it wasn't under the table. It was all on the up and up.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It was legit.
But what was he going to say about it? Damn it.
That was interesting. You talk quite some time on that. I want to know from that point, how did you link up with the podcast people?
So that was October 2014. I came here, almost moved back on Christmas. In July, I listened to the Adam Carolla Show every day. That was another one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. And they announced that they were looking for an intern. And I applied there. I basically emailed everybody on the show, like, or tweeted them or DM'd them something like ready to work. And then I got an interview, and I already like knew who the guys were and stuff.
You're familiar with their crew.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I knew the people I interviewed with, and like they were big Kanye fans and
and
Childish Gambino we talked about in the interview and stuff.
Yeah.
And we got along right off the bat. And they knew some of the people that I'd interview with, like the ad agencies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got hired there for free for 3 months. And I was Ubering full time around the clock in the car I used to sleep in.
Damn, you're double hustling.
I'd moved into a living room at that point, which I lived in for 5 years.
In a living room?
Yeah. It was like very secluded. So like you went up and it was more of like the front room of the house, but there was a curtain, and then there was a dining room that no one used, and then a kitchen and a hallway with 2 bedrooms.
How did you get Craigslist?
A buddy from my hometown.
He's like, hey, you can live in my living room, man.
Yeah.
How much for did he charge you?
It was like $520.
You had access to your shower, kitchen.
Yeah. A shower, kitchen.
Yeah.
A ton of, like, my room was like 400 square feet and like
this bigger than this.
Yeah, it was like it was about this size.
This is the size you had,
mm-hmm.
And no one would enter.
Yeah, it was closed off by a curtain, which made girls uncomfortable sometimes. But
did you bring girls back there?
Yeah, on occasion.
So you just
put
back the curtain.
And the floor was gross too.
Yeah,
like,
but it was hard floors or carpet?
No, carpet. Gross.
Okay,
gross carpet.
But you had a bed and a coffee table and a TV.
Yeah, I had a bed there was like this fake fireplace. I had a big TV.
Yeah, this is a fake fire. Yeah.
I don't, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just like this.
Yes, exactly.
So big, maybe you lived in here and you just. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean. It's similar to this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I had a big folding table with a black curtain over it for my desk. And
damn, you did it.
Yeah,
and grinding.
Then, so I got that job. They eventually hired me. I worked there for a couple years for
yeah,
no money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I met Theo, at the Adam Carolla show.
You met Theo on there.
Yeah.
Tell me that day. Tell me how it went down.
I had remembered him from back in the day, seeing him on TV and hearing him.
But don't mention the show, because he told me never to mention the show. It was on MTV. Do your own research. We can't mention it. Continue. It was something that had to do with that world.
So I remember him from back in the day, and then I remembered him from his previous Adam Carolla show. Mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's fucking funny as shit. And
he's unique, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I like it was never even like intention to try to buddy up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just remember it was actually right after his like – his moment of clarity or whatever when he got sober after that cab ride.
Yeah.
He came on.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean cab ride? I don't know if I know the story. Go ahead.
It's his This Is Not Happening story. So he.
Oh, on Comedy Central.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry, I'm just doing notes. Continue.
No worries. He was. The whole story is he went to New York because he was going to be on Opie and Anthony or Opie and Jim.
Uh-huh.
And the night before, he stayed out, partied. Ended up in a cab. The cab driver's like, you want to do some coke?
The cab driver offered him, yay?
Yeah, coke. And then so they went to get the coke, and they got a hooker. But then Theo, like, bailed, and he didn't want to be with the hooker. So he ends up driving the cab. And the
Theo did?
Yeah.
Well, he drove another man's cab?
That's what he said. And the cab,
while the cab driver was doing a hooker?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
And so he's up all night, doesn't sleep, wakes up or has to go to the recording. He's yacked out of his mind. There's pictures you can look up. He's geeked. You can just tell.
Oh, he's just been doing coke all night.
Yeah, and so he could barely talk, and he feel like he was wasting this opportunity. And then it just so happened to be the other guest on the show was Daryl Strawberry, who was talking about his sobriety and how much it changed his life. And,
was a moment of clarity.
Yeah, so Theo just sat there feeling like a big piece of shit.
Yeah, and that's when he got sober?
Yeah, and then so he comes back from New York and he does an Adam Carolla show appearance, and he's more talking to Gary Smith, the producer of the Adam Carolla show, who's a buddy of mine, but I'm kind of there and hanging around. Then he came on a couple more times because he was a huge favorite.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's podcast gold.
Yeah.
And then one time he just asked me if I could help his podcast allegedly with some social media.
Well, which one is that?
He did it with Matthew Cole Weiss.
Oh, this is back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They never got a ton of traction. There's some really funny episodes. Mm-hmm. But I just did some contracted social media work. Eventually, he was like, we're not making money. You did good shit. But
yeah, yeah.
Nothing. So then I leave the Adam Carolla show. I got a job at Funny or Die. I worked there for 5 months. I thought that was going to be like my job. It was like a production coordinator.
Yeah, yeah,
job.
I remember them. Yeah,
I was really excited about it. And then 5 months in, they laid off a third of the company, including myself.
Oh, ouch!
And I was super, super fucking bummed. Again, yeah. I was like, "Am I going to move back?" So then I just called Theo when I got laid off, just because I was trying to figure out my finances. And I was like, "Hey, was that like, are you 1099 me for that job?" And just trying to figure some stuff out. And he just started asking what was going on, and. And then he's like, oh, man, I could actually use some help on the podcast. I did some social media.
Yeah.
Then he had his first guest. And, like, every step of the way, I felt like I went above and beyond what he asked.
Right.
So the responsibilities just grew until, like, 6 months later. He did Rogan a bunch of times, fucking crushed. Did Fighter and the Kid, crushed. Did Hot Ones, crushed.
Yeah.
And he just blew up. And I was the one who shouldered the responsibility that
comes with it. You help with the social media and everything. Mm-hmm. And then to the point now where, how did King and the Sting form?
So he would just go on Fighter and the Kid all the time. First it was just as a guest, but then Brian was gone all the time because he was filming two different shows. He was Schooled and the Goldbergs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brendan would just always ask Theo, and Theo went on there, and they just had, like, great chemistry. Like,
right. Just shooting the shit.
I mean, a lot of it, looking back, it's like Theo playing his hits.
Yeah.
But Brendan was such a good audience for it, and they just like had
they bounced back good with each other.
Yeah, it was just so much fun.
I could tell even today, because we hadn't seen Theo in a while, but like Brendan had a different glow to him this morning. Yeah. It was almost like he was a kid in the can, like, oh, there's my friend again.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get that vibe?
Brendan worries about Theo.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, he does.
Yeah, and he's happy when he's there.
But,
yeah.
You know, don't you, isn't it the exact opposite? Now, Theo's life is completely full.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what opposed it back in the day. Now, you know, because I didn't even know he's doing a Netflix special.
October 19th.
That's a big deal, dude.
Huge.
That's a huge, like, my brother don't even have a special. Mm-hmm. I tried to get on him, but I think even my own brother's waiting for a deal like that.
Yeah.
A Netflix thing?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I've been saying it for
years. Dude.
I mean, it's obvious, but there's a thing about, like, the people who have these big podcasts who then do a special because, like.
Does it help?
I think so, because, like, so every there's a million Netflix specials now. It used to be like, oh, if you have a Netflix special,
you're
big.
You mean for comedians?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. It used comedy to be, specials.
It used to be if you had one of those, you're big, like, no matter what.
No
but
matter
now
what.
There's so many, they get buried.
How do they pick which one they want to do? How do they pick from all these comedians? Like, you're next, and then you're next.
Just a bunch
that.
Of not funny people hearing who, like, could make them money, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, so they look at their social media. And
I who's trendy? I don't
who's
fucking
trending
know.
Trending?
I'm not in the industry.
You're right. I'm just, yeah, I just always wondered that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think the guys with podcasts have an advantage in this where everybody gets buried. The day that drops, every single this past weekend listener has been champing at the bit to see Theo's special, and they're going to go to it, which will then push it to the front page.
Oh, because as our fans ready to download it and buy it.
Yeah, and so all that traffic is going to show Netflix it's number one, and then to people who have never even heard Theo, it'll be top 10 trending, and I think he's going to go to a new level.
He's going to go to even a higher level?
I think so. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the hour he did, but it's awesome.
I've seen clips on YouTube.
And I liked No Offense, mm-hmm. but it's 10,000 times better than
How
that.
How long has he been doing it?
17 years.
17 years?
Yeah.
What the hell? It takes that long.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's a trajectory, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, And then it just grew to King of the Sting, and now you're don't you have your own podcast as well?
Yeah, I've got a couple. We've got a little.
Let's shout them out real quick. You know, do some promotions
for sure. If you watch either the reality TV shows, The Bachelor or Below Deck, we do two shows that cover that called Another Bachelor Podcast, Another Below Deck Podcast, mm-hmm. respectively, mm-hmm. all under our Another brand and Another Podcast Network. And then our real passion project, we've gotten away from the reality TV show. We do another podcast show.
Go ahead.
Go look up Another Podcast Network on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell the story about my run-in with the smiley face killer.
That's crazy. For real?
Yeah, and my blood
smokes.
Alcohol level was 0.397.
Holy smokes.
And it was found in a snowbank
by
the police.
That's insane. That was intense. How do they subscribe? Like, subscribe today.
Yeah,
say those things. I want to put them in the description as well.
Cool.
If you could send that to me, but just shout them out real quick again.
I'm gonna give.
We're
one,
not done yet because I want to get to your folks and everything.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I want to give one really strong one. The biggest call to action I would say is search Another Podcast Network on YouTube and mm-hmm. subscribe to Another Podcast Network
today. Do that today.
Right. Meow.
You have a very unique story as well as far as your upbringing with your...
Can I correct you on something that, like, it's annoying that I do it, but I this is, like, my mission out in the world. You shouldn't say very unique because unique is, like, it's a superlative. You can't modify it.
Okay. So, you have a unique...
Yeah, yeah. You know what? People always want to add a modifier, so you can say truly unique.
You have a truly unique story as far as your upbringing and your folks.
I know that's annoying. My buddy
no,
did
it's,
in high
it's
school.
No, it's fine. That's the first on this podcast.
Yeah. Everybody correct.
Maybe, I don't know if I've done that before.
People do it all the time.
I do it all the time?
People
do. Oh, we're going to correct it today, mm-hmm. tonight. Let's hear about your folks, because you told me something.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, so my grandma raised me. Mm-hmm. I was in a foster home till I was 5 because both my parents are schizophrenic.
That was bugging out when you told me that.
Yeah, really?
So they're clinically schizophrenic.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about my dad. So my mom is my grandma's daughter. So I've had more contact with her. She was like in and out of mental hospitals, halfway houses, get an apartment, fuck up, start the cycle over, go off her meds.
Clarify what that... What's entailed in a clinical schizophrenic? Are they hearing voices? Are they hallucinating things we can't see?
The number, a lot of people hear voices. It's not split personalities. That's its own disorder.
That's different. That's like that movie Split.
A lot of people like to conflate those two. Mm-hmm. But it's hearing voices and just like massive paranoia.
But they really hear voices.
And
now, what's your theory on that? Because I've thought a great deal about that. What if they're a part of their brain is like lighting up that normal people's brains can't get to that level of opening different windows to different dimensions or whatnot? Because when I was on LSD, I took acid when I went to ASU, and it allowed me to see into a different dimension. I saw dead people.
I think of it less of – I can see how it could be construed, and obviously I don't know. It could be a different dimension. But I think it's a chemical imbalances that flood your senses in ways so you feel like you're in another dimension.
Yeah, and they're talking to someone that you can't see.
Yeah, so they definitely – probably whatever's hitting them, they probably definitely hear it, like it sounds in their head. I believe it to be, but it's also like I think drugs induce it. Like she did a lot of drugs.
What kinds?
LSD.
That's not good, especially if you already have a problem. Like I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an underlying problem already of schizophrenia, mm-hmm. and then you add the LSD, a hallucinogenic, that's not a good combination.
I
don't think it is.
I remember hearing a stat that always tripped me out when I was younger. If you had one parent that was schizophrenic, you had an 8% chance of being schizophrenic, and if you had two parents, you had a 30% chance of being schizophrenic.
How does that even make sense?
I mean, just genetics and stuff
going
together. And that always like tripped me out. So I never have touched LSD
or drug.
No,
you probably smoked weed before.
I've done everything besides.
Right.
Besides LSD, meth or heroin.
Right. So what was it like growing up in the house? Like, do you have memories of like being scared or witnessing it for the first time?
See, I didn't. Like my grandma like took us in when we were five. Mm-hmm. There would be things where my grandma would be on the phone handling shit. Like my.
With nurses and
like one time,
medical people.
One time my mom, when I was in third grade, she was at Lakeview Hospital, and it's in it's a mental institution or whatever, and she jumped out the third story window thinking the like staff was after, and she broke her leg. And then we would like
hospital shit. Because you hear those stories, especially with LSD or like even I've been watching ayahuasca videos and stuff, like people saying that sometimes they don't fully make it back. And so a part of them is still on the other side, you know, on some like Jim Morrison door shit. Mm-hmm. And that's why they turn loony, because they're like, didn't quite make it back. And they didn't get all their marbles back.
Yeah. Norm MacDonald has a great joke about LSD and flashbacks. He's like, flashbacks. He's like, it's like 10 years later, you feel the effects of their drug again. Like, talk about the bang for your buck.
Right. No, that is kind of true.
Obviously, I butchered it. But.
Sometimes, like, if I'm skating or I do an ollie or something, like, I hit my head, like, or sometimes when I'm taking a shit, too, like, I'll see, like right when I wake up, I'll see, like, twinkles, like, kaleidoscope. But that's the stuff I'd see on LSD.
Did you enjoy it?
They're the most horrific, nightmarish experiences I've ever had in my life.
How do people enjoy it? I don't understand.
Well, with me, I always saw like skulls and like dead people, and like it was dark for me.
Do you take mushrooms, or did you? I know you're.
Yeah,
so
I did.
I love mushrooms.
I did, but then I remember because I showed you the other apartment when you walked over here. Mm-hmm. In that apartment, I remember going to a dive bar with some of the homies, you know, we're down in Pabst Blue Ribbon. We met some guy.
From Wisconsin?
We met a guy. He's like, hey, you guys want to hang out? You know, the bar was closing. And then I remember he had a whole bag of mushrooms. And I remember just eating them like popcorn. And it was like, I was just eating them like a lot. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking of just eating them like candy.
I've never taken an eighth even. I've taken maybe like three-fourths of an eighth.
We were eating a lot. And then I remember in that small apartment, my friend was too fucked up to drive. And I remember like he was kind of on the verge of passing out. And with me, it's always like things happen when you're indoors and like the ceiling or the walls or the corner of a wall. And I remember I was watching his, like, he was on the ground in the sleeping bag. And then I was looking over my shoulder. And then it's always like, you know, my bathroom light, it's like the Matrix green.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I choose green. There's green Christmas light. Because when I used to trip on LSD and mushrooms, it become like the Matrix.
So you like it. You trying to get it back.
But in a sober mind state. Yeah. There's something to investigate as far as my psychology behind that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't acknowledge it that moment, but it was on shrooms. It could have opened up if I would have focused my attention on the wall.
Because
that's when it happens. Because when I first saw the dead people, I was intently looking at the ground, and then opening up. The ground started moving, and it opened up into the wall, and I saw all the dead people. But yeah, so to
anybody
answer your
you
question,
knew? No,
it was a vast variety of different, like not even one age bracket. It was like grandfathers, a little girl, a mother, a father, different races. Mm-hmm. It was just
that sounds beautiful.
It was scary to me because it could have been beautiful, but it was like they were mourning, or they were like because I saw their hands like this. And they were like, hey, like, do you see me? And it was kind of
have you ever
like,
tried to draw that?
No, but that's funny you brought that up. There's an artist named Lori Lipton. And there's one particular, she does everything with black. She's a great artist. She can make anything look real.
Mm-hmm.
She has a piece where it captures what I saw. I'll try to bring it up, Lori Lipton. The picture is, okay, I got it. A picture is it's a couple in a living room eating like a TV dinner, and they're watching this old school 80s television, but there's dead, you know, it's like the stuff that I'm telling you, mm-hmm. like coming from the ground, on the ceilings, on the walls. But so it's like, exactly
what
I witnessed on my LSD trip, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
if everybody's seeing the same thing, maybe it is another dimension.
Because how did she know?
Yeah.
And you would think, I'm not saying all artists do drugs, but maybe she experimented. She's a little older,
mm-hmm.
I think in her 60s now.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she did LSD or mushrooms mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that don't sound crazy. So it doesn't sound crazy?
Mm-mm. Not at all. Okay. I see crazy.
Yeah. So I wanted to, dude, we're down to our last 10 minutes. More on how you, because that must have been tough growing up with two folks, like, and then you said your grandmother raised you?
My grandma raised me and my two older sisters. And, like, it wasn't as tough as it sounds because, like, my grandma did such a good job of, like, giving us, like, a home. We ended up going to, like, private school despite her working as a cleaning lady for, like...
You went to private school?
Yeah.
Like Dead Poets Society?
Yeah, it was...
Or Robin Williams?
It wasn't quite as...
prestigious as that?
Buttoned up like
yeah,
that.
Right.
But
it
was expensive as shit. But my grandma begged the church every year to get, like, a scholarship and to let us go there to get, like, more structure and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that shit didn't really affect me. I did, when I was 18... Well, I had a sister who died a year before I was born as an infant.
Yeah.
She suffocated in my parents' house in the crib.
What do you mean she suffocated?
Yeah, cuz she had infant asthma, and they'd smoke in the house all the time.
Jesus.
They essentially killed the baby.
So your folks smoked as
Yeah,
they just smoked as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They just smoked in the house, had people over like
smoking
drinking.
Me too, for like 16, 17, 18 years. Me too.
But not with a child in the house.
Not with a child, but no, I wouldn't do that. But.
So then, and they had my other sisters at the time, and then so when I was born, I went to foster home. I'm pretty sure because that happened. And then I found out when I was 18, I had a girl who was 2 years younger than me reach out to me on Facebook, and she was my sister. And my mom had another kid after my grandma adopted us, but my grandma's like, I cannot afford another child, and she had to put that one up for adoption. And I was really weird about it when she reached out. Like, I didn't.
Are you still in contact with your sister?
My two older sisters,
yeah.
Yes, all the time. Like their family.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
The one that reached out, I never really connected with, but my two older sisters.
But that's
have.
Your blood sister?
Yeah.
Where you don't know where she is?
She's in Wisconsin, someplace, I think.
How old is she by this point?
Probably 30, I guess.
30? And you haven't contacted?
I'm sure I will. When I, like, right when she reached out, I was, like, just, like, kind of wanted to ignore it. Weird,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. But really, it's cool.
Yeah.
To, like, you hear the story, like, Chappelle meeting his dad.
Yeah,
dad.
No, he talked about that.
Yeah. That was an awesome episode.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, I like that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So you made it through that, and like, because I know a lot of people that could have messed a lot of people up. Just those are hard, like, circumstances growing up.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm better for it. Yeah, it's easy to say that. Like,
right,
you always worry, or like, and then you worry, like, oh, if I do well in life and my kids have it easy, like,
right, because
that struggle is like what maybe gave me a work ethic and shit.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm sure. No, because you do work hard. I could testify to that.
Thank you. Part of it's bad habits, though. It's like high school. In the morning I'm scrambling because I
time do you wake up this morning?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
You have to plan that far ahead?
I woke up kind of like without my alarm, and I was like, I just can't go back to bed. Like,
are you working from that moment on? You're drinking your coffee?
Yeah, I was at Thick Boy at like 6 today, and then I had like time.
You were at Thick Boy at 6 in the morning?
Mm-hmm. But then I probably finished actual prep like at like 9, and then I worked on my own stuff.
Holy smokes.
Another podcast show?
Yeah. All right, so dude, time flew by, brother. Let's do some more shot. Let's get your Instagram and website, whatever you want to plug.
Instagram, Real Nick Davis, mm-hmm. And then we have a Patreon too, where we do
plug it.
Patreon.com/anotherpodcastnetwork.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. If you want to dip your toe in without paying, just listen to another podcast show, and then we do an extra episode of that every week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We just covered Bachelor in Paradise on our. Patreon. That was a pretty good season.
Okay, cool. What I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
It's it's a spin-off of The Bachelor. You know,
oh,
The Bachelor.
I know. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah, they
have The Bachelor, Bachelorette,
that show. Yeah,
and then they have one where it's a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls, and they call it Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, cool.
It's a little bit more campy.
Mm-hmm. And definitely watch the Squid Game.
Yeah, watch Squid Games.
Everyone's watching it.
Yeah.
Are you watching it?
I don't know. I've heard it's like torture porn. I'm not really. Is it like Saw movies and shit? I'm not really.
No, it is. But it's like there's an interesting backstory with these characters. You kind of like get attached to. You could empathize with some of these characters involved.
I did. You
watch? Squid Game.
I was watching some Korean film over the pandemic. I watched like Minari. And
oh, that's Steven Yeun.
Yeah. And what's the scary one? The Wailing?
Yeah, seen that one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were good.
Steven Yeun's like our Leonardo DiCaprio. Like we hold him to the highest as far as in the acting world.
Oh, he's an actor.
As an actor. But I don't think he does. No, you're fine. I don't think he does many podcasts, although he did do Tiger Belly with David.
Really?
Yeah, because I asked.
You hooked that up?
No. I had nothing to do with that because I had asked Steven Yeun a while back, but that's kind of reaching for the stars there. Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably be embarrassed letting him in. You know, he's a star, you know? Although I have eaten Korean barbecue sitting across from him.
Nice.
And, my mind.
My best friend in grade school was Matt Marcoux. He was Korean.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Can we give him a shout out real quick?
What up, Matt?
Okay, did we cover everything? Let's shout out your podcast one more time.
You're the Man, another podcast show. Check it out. What else have we done? Oh, we did a really fun thing where, just go check it out. There's a bunch of stuff on there.
And then after it, remind me, because I'm going to be editing this, but as far as the YouTube description, I can put whatever you want me to put in. I'll do that. I'll put that
I'll email. I'll email
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We do have a Patreon if you want to help support the platform, patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. Did you like the ad read I did this morning for you guys?
It was so good.
Did Brendan like it?
It was. Do you know that?
I really was. When I realized what I was reading, I started sweating. I'm like, oh, this is like my forte.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, that's, I do, I'm trying to get off pornography.
Hentai though? Because they mentioned hentai.
No, not so much hentai, but I do, I even look up more to Theo at the fact that he's quitting all that. Because I tried to quit porn, you know, 3 months I went, abstain from pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was reading the ad read, I was like, oh, this is like my lane right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this, you know.
It was super funny.
And then if you, Instagram/QUANGOU, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for the music. Oh, Scissor, YouTube.com/ScissorBros. Those episodes drop every Friday. Me and Jeremiah will be at another comedy festival. November 13th. What does it say?
Louisville? Was it Louisville?
It's in
Indianapolis?
No, it's in what does that say?
Evanston?
At the Flyover Comedy Festival in Missouri, November 13th, okay? So tune in for that if you're in
St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri, if you're there. And StevieWeebyShow.com, that's my website. If you want to get any kind of merch, just know the shipments may be delayed because of what's happening, COVID or whatever, the FedEx or whatever. Yeah, if you want to send any packages or fan mail or anything, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. I think I covered everything. Oh, and then King and the Sting every
Thursday. 9 p.m.
9 p.m.?
West Coast.
All right. It was
a premiere, so you can watch it live.
It was a pleasure having you.
It was awesome being here. Dude. Thank you.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry were woodpeckers, did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land, you bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the raise. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Lift this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.